Well, hello there, wonderful teachers. I want to invite you to an event we're doing this summer. It's in Cincinnati, Ohio, so you have to be able to make it there, but it might be worth traveling for if you're able to. It's happening on July 20th and 21st, so that's over a weekend, and it's going to be the best 2 days for teachers. We're going to have a ton of fun. We're going to learn a lot about pedagogy and creative teaching and business. We have two fabulous guest speakers, and we're even going to finish with an optional Ceilidh. That's an Irish dancing party. So I hope you'll be able to join me. Just go to vibrantmusicteaching.com/turbo. That's .com/TURBO24. The numbers 24. I hope you'll check it out. View all the details there, and I hope to see you in Cincinnati in July. On with the episode.
Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and this week we're looking at some interesting questions about your teaching and business. Well, hey there, lovely teachers. I'll let you in on a secret. I actually had a completely different episode planned for this week. I changed my mind. I can't give you a good reason for that, other than I was more excited to talk about this. So what we're going to be doing today is going through some of the questions and topics that we'll be discussing at the Teacher Turbo Boost in Cincinnati this July. Now, I'm using this as a framework to give you some questions to think about your teaching, your philosophy on teaching and business, and everything that goes along with it. If you can come to the conference either online or in person, then amazing. But if you can't, I hope these questions will give you some food for thought. So the first session at the Teacher Turbo Boost is going to be called Looking Back from the Year 2100. And this is really a thought experiment, me asking this question of myself. I'll give you the inside scoop on this one. I've actually submitted this to several conferences, and you'll hear more about submitting to conferences in an upcoming episode with Amy Chaplin. But this is one that's been rejected many times and then was actually accepted for the Australasian Piano Pedagogy Conference, which is I'm attending very soon here. So I'm also including it for the Teacher Turbo Boost Conference because it's one I'm really passionate about, and maybe having it accepted to a conference gave me a bit more confidence to put it into our Teacher Turbo Boost. It is a really interesting thought experiment to do for yourself, and your answers don't have to match up with mine at all. In fact, that's really what the session is about. It's about, okay, here's my vision. What's your vision, and how are we moving in the right direction as a community? As much as we're aligned with different things, how can we move that direction together? So that's one question to think about. What should teaching look like after we, me and you, are probably gone from the planet? What should piano lessons, music teaching in general, look like in the year 2100? And what are we doing to get us there? In the second session, we're doing the Piano Power Booster, or I've called it the Power Booster Accelerator because we're doing some elements of the Piano Power Booster. So my idea behind this session is to really give us an insight into the experience of a piano student in their first year of study, and specifically the experience and the progression with things that aren't in a method book, so non-reading specific stuff, really. We're going to be doing some activities from one of the first few weeks, and then the middle week, and then towards the end of their first year, to see how these things progress in an age-appropriate way. So the question I want you to consider is, have you stepped into the beginner's shoes recently? Have you looked at what it's like to be one of your students, what the experiences they have, how balanced it is between the different things, and how they would feel about their progression, and maybe how you feel about their progression? Now, session number 3, and there are breaks between these, by the way, is Practice Pie. So some of you will know my book, Practice Pie. It's lovely when teachers come up to me at conferences and things and tell me that they have a few copies in their studio and they loan it out to parents and that it's made a difference to improve practice habits with parents at home. In the Practice By session, we're looking at this from the teacher's perspective. So we're taking that same framework of baking a practice pie, but we're looking at what we do on our end, not putting it entirely at parents' feet. What can we do to move practice forward? So I am not saying that practice does not fall at the parents' feet. That's absolutely not the case. It's not all on us. And sometimes I know they treat it as if it is all on us. So I'm not refuting that. However, I do think we always need to look at ourselves first. It's like when a student hasn't achieved something, didn't get something in a lesson. Do we look at the student or do we look at ourselves? I think we should always start with ourselves first. Was I in the wrong? Is there something I could have done better? So have a think about that. When it comes to practice, what are you doing to support the student and the parent to develop a practice routine to practice steadily at home? You can't force the issue, but you can do your best to facilitate the practice, to make it easy for parents to do that at home. Next session after that is the easy button. I'm probably most excited about this one. So I'll give you again a little bit of a behind the scenes. The easy button is all about teaching pieces in different interactive ways and what are all the ways we can teach the same piece of music so that it feels easy for the student. And that's regardless of whether they practice and how difficult they find it, etc. How can we make it feel easy to them? The answer, spoiler alert, is by us putting in a lot of planning work in a lot of cases and teaching through different modalities. I'm excited about that as a concept, of course, but I'm most excited about this session because I'm also featuring two fantastic pieces by female composers that I don't think most teachers know. We can introduce to our students, if we can bring it to them in such a fun, interactive way, we're going to get them more interested in music by female composers. So the question behind that is one you've heard me ask quite a lot recently here on the podcast and on YouTube and things. And that is, what would this look like if it were easy? That's a question for you to ask about your students. And I'll give you a bonus one to ask for yourself. What would this look like if it were fun? So if you have a recital and you're dreading it, if you don't like some aspect of your teaching or business, what would it look like if it were fun? How would that be different? How could we set it up in a way that it is actually fun to us? Not everything can be fun. I do realize that. I'm not delusional. But a lot more things can be if we look at them through that lens. That's only the first half a day of the Teacher Turbo Boost. So after lunch, we're looking at the secret lives of quiet students, strategies for teaching the timid. And this is a guest session from Christina Whitlock. So I'm going to hand it over to her so she can describe the session to you.
Hello, friends. Christina Whitlock here of the Beyond Measure podcast. And I am coming to Cincinnati this summer to be part of the VMT Turbo Boost conference. I cannot wait because I know this community. I know it's going to be a great time. And I also know we're going to learn so many things. So count me in for all of it. My session is going to be called The Secret Lives of Quiet Students, Strategies for Teaching the Timid. I have a real soft spot in my heart for helping teachers better understand the inner workings of quiet students. I really want to make sure that students who are not as verbally demonstrative are still getting the very best of you. So I'm going to show you some of my tried and true strategies for working with our quietest students. I cannot wait. Let's do this together. I will see you in Cincinnati.
Doesn't that sound amazing? Okay, so the thinking point is pretty obvious for you, whether or not you're coming to the conference. And that is, are you reaching out to your quiet students? Or, I would pose the opposite too. Because if you are a quiet person like me, are you connecting well with those extroverted, exuberant students? Sometimes it's the students that are the opposite of us that we're not quite sure how they tick and we take longer to get to know them and build that rapport. So think about your students' personalities and what you're doing to connect with them the way that they are. The final proper session then on day one is called Uncommon Sense for Music Teachers. In this, I'm going to go through some of those things that we think are obvious, but that students or parents don't realize, and we need to actively teach them or state the obvious. What things do you assume are obvious that your parents in your studio or your students don't realize? Have an eye out for those things. Maybe make a list right now of some that you've found in the past that you now teach quite well, so that you can be more aware of these things going forward. Moving on to day two of the Teacher Turbo Boost, which will be on July 21st, we're starting with the Neurodivergent Teaching Toolkit. I love giving this session because anything I can do to make studios more inclusive is something I'm happy to help with. So in this session, I'll go through some of the most common diagnoses that we see in our studios, what's in my teaching toolkit for really all students, but especially my neurodivergent students, how you use those tools in your studio. So is your studio already open to neurodivergent students? Is there a new diagnosis that has come up in your studio life that you need to investigate more? Something maybe a parent hadn't previously disclosed and you've now found out about, or something that's come up in a waiting list form. Maybe you spend some time researching that diagnosis to find out what it really means and how it might apply to a piano studio. Then we have our Curriculum Checkpoints brainstorming session. So in this, I'm going to walk the attendees through how we think about curriculum, what it even means, and how we can start from a simple checklist and work outwards from there to a more detailed plan. So do you have a curriculum for your studio? Do you have some kind of checklist? Do you know what it is you want students to know as milestones at the end of the first year, the second year? And if you kind of know it internally but haven't written it down, maybe consider putting it on paper. It can be a really different thing to look at it physically in front of you and then see whether your students live up, line up with what it is that you expect of them. And if they don't, is that because your expectations are too lofty? Is it something you're not teaching as much as you feel you should? Or is it something where you're expecting more practice than you're getting? In which case, yes, you can work on improving the practice habits, but also sometimes I think we just need to do a reality check. We can't base all our expectations off every student practicing 45 minutes a day if none of our students are practicing 10 minutes a day, right? After that, we have a session on keeping teens in lessons. So I'll be going through some different aspects of what keeps teenagers in lessons, and we'll also be working to play from chord charts in a collaborative way to learn how to do that with our teenage students. What's your teen retention like? Actually, a parent asked this of me recently. I was doing one of our progress update calls, which I do the week leading up to the recital. Basically, the other teachers who work here do group lessons that week to prepare for the performances, and then I open up a calendar link so that parents can book a slot with me to discuss their child's progress. So the parent asked me in this session, their child is turning 15 soon. In parts of the world, they'd be changing to high school. Right here, they're just moving from kind of the junior part of secondary school to the more senior part. The parent asked me whether most students have a certain point they drop off. And I said, well, she's already passed it, to be honest. Most students who stay past first year here, which is like age 12, 13, stay all the way through to college often, unless they move away or something like that. But they'll often continue all the way through. What's it like in your studio? When is there a big drop-off point? And is there something you could be doing to help alleviate that? Next up, we have another wonderful guest session. So this is evolutionary entrepreneurialism. Grow your studio one yes at a time. So this is with Amy Chaplin, and I'll have Amy describe her session to you now.
Hey teachers, I'm Amy Chaplin from the Piano Pantry blog and podcast, and I'm so excited to get a chance to come and share with you this summer in Cincinnati, Ohio at Nicola's conference. So the session that I'm going to do is called Evolutionary Entrepreneurialism, Grow Your Studio One Yes at a Time. In that session, we're going to be looking at ways that we can pay attention to what's happening around us and to client demand and be creative with our studio offerings. So through that process, I'm going to be sharing 6 different ways that my own studio has evolved over the years. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time sharing ways that our studios have already evolved, brainstorming the possibilities of what could be in the future. So I really look forward to sharing with you there, and it's going to be a great time. So see you in July.
So what unexpected opportunities do you need to say yes to? What do you need to say no to? I think considering more carefully what we're signing up for, which things we're really adding to our studio with conscious thought, is a great exercise to go through. After that, and after our break, we're going to be doing the Policy Problem Solver, which is another brainstorming session where teachers are going to get together based on topics, policies that they're having an issue with or that they want to discuss with other teachers. If you're not able to attend, either online or in person, what is a policy issue that you need help on? Don't just sit out there in your bubble thinking, oh, this is awful and I can't solve this problem and there's no good solution and it's completely unique to me. I promise you, it is not. There's always someone out there who's in a very similar situation to you. So reach out. Post in Facebook groups or in our community forums if you're a member. Ask for help about those policy issues because now is the right time of year to do it. We're going to be closing the Teacher Turbo Boost with 2 fantastic things, a Circle of Fifths Odyssey improvisation together, then our Ceilidh, which is an Irish dancing party, to close out the whole fabulous 2 days. So if you can join us, I hope you'll go get your ticket. Whether you want to join online and stream the event and watch the recordings, or whether you can make it in person to Cincinnati, Ohio, because I would love to meet you there. I hope you enjoyed this pondering together and that it gives you some interesting questions to ask yourself today. And I'll see you back here next week. We have an extra special episode because it's episode 300. So I've got a little surprise for you. I'm not going to give anything away, just a bit of a different style episode. I hope you'll come back for it next week. Vibrant Music Teaching members get 5 new games or resources at least every single month that keep them inspired and wanting to become a better teacher each and every day. If you want to join the best community of teachers online, you can go to vmt.ninja and sign up today. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I hope you loved it, and I wanted to pop on here one more time to remind you about our event. It's happening in Cincinnati this July, and you can get all the details at vibrantmusicteaching.com/turbo. See you there.